So you kind of can sense maybe through Richard's openness, the awkwardness kind of today in one sense. I mean, imagine if you were a pastor here or scheduled to preach like Richard and I are, and you didn't have anything. A few minutes ago, we didn't have anything. But the Lord has given me something, I think a very clear word. So this is what I'm preaching in weakness today. Now, this isn't just talk, but I'm preaching in weakness. I definitely did not prepare in one sense, but I can say our Father is so good that He has indeed prepared His word for us. So all grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who is faithful and loves us and provides for us. It's funny. Okay, they took down the title, but the title said it was Jesus Rejected at Nazareth. That was the title. But I've been having such a good time and fun and jokes with my wife all week. I said that should be Losers Rejected in Windsor Mill. Now that sounds kind of funny, but this past week I've been joking with her about fathers being losers. Because I'm going to talk openly here today. I'm going to talk to you about real stuff, the real things of life. I certainly don't believe that fathers ultimately and truly and fundamentally are losers. I couldn't believe the gospel of God our Father and hold to that. But it is awkward in our current day and situation with fathers, and not only fathers, but in all relationships. But let's, because it's Father's Day, let's think a little bit about the awkwardness. I'll speak to you some of the things I've had to deal with and still have to deal with on a perpetual basis, just strictly because of the gender and role of father. The question that comes to my mind is there anything more awkward than Father's Day? Now, this day is awkward. Already for me, I've experienced awkwardness in all kinds of ways. The awkwardness of having to preach, of course, and step in because a father didn't prepare. A father didn't fulfill his role. He let his brother and the children down. Now, I'm joking, totally, but it kind of lends itself to what we think about fathers. And what we must do is think about fathers in the light of our Father, the God of Jesus Christ, and we'll quickly do what you would do if you knew that, and that is forgive a father for his fallenness. Forgive him for his lack of preparation. Now, all this really ties in, and we can laugh, and we should laugh today, because ultimately, if the gospel is anything, it's good news, so that even in the middle of our miseries, even in the middle of our awkwardness, comes this good word of who God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are, and how much we are loved by them and included by them, despite our awkwardness. Think of fathers. I've had my most awkward moments, really, I'd say, in ministry and in life with fathers. But ironically, because of a different reason than maybe so many of you might be having awkwardness, I have awkwardness because my dad was a great dad, like a good one. I mean, really was there for us in love, spoke love. I love you, Timothy. I've named you Timothy because I had a dream from God, and so I named you that. He told all my brothers this. And I mean, not just like told us this as a generic thing, but my father was a man of faith. He pointed us always to God. We always, most of my early life and father formative years, I was in Bible study with my dad, pointing us to trust in God the Father and in His Son and in the Holy Spirit. There was a view on the Spirit wasn't quite where it should be. I was getting instructed. And my mom was right there too, so I had both a mother and a father. I had a father who said, when he said, "I'm going to show up at your game," he showed up at the game. He got off of work early and came out to the football field. Came. The only thing he wouldn't do was, because back in the day we used to be Sabbatarian in our view, thinking we had to stop work and play and all that on Friday to Saturday. So he would not, as a deacon in the church, come out to my band practices. Guy played the drums on Friday night, and he decided he wouldn't do that. But he did decide, he did have mercy and tried to provide for us at a time where we didn't have much. And he said, "You can go though. You know, you can go with my blessing. I won't be there. Me and your mom won't be there, because, but you can go." And he basically told me I could go in terms of God's mercy. So he's great at pointing me to God's mercy. I remember one time I sinned what was in my mind, probably one of the most egregious sins I could have committed up to that point in my life. And I'm headed to a service where we're to take communion, Passover service, take communion. I'm just down. And he always, so my dad was the kind of, whenever he came home, whenever he saw you, how are you, son? I mean, how you doing? He could tell, of course, from doing that day after day that you're not doing so well today. I can tell by the look in your eye and your response. So he saw I wasn't doing too well. So my father's relationship with him was so good, I could tell him anything and everything. So there's one person in my life who knows about every one of my sins other than God the Father, and that's my earthly father. Now, just to let you know, my earthly father, he passed away. His name was Rufus Brissell. His claim to fame was he was a boxer. Fought Muhammad Ali. He was ranked number 8 in the world at one point. Came from Mississippi all the way up to that. I had a father who was kind of famous all around, and people loved him. But see, they loved him, I'd say, more so because he was a loving dad. He was the kind of dad where I literally wanted all of my friends to come over because I knew who they were going to run into when my dad got off work and came home. They were going to run into him, and he was going to always do the same thing, act like he was boxing them and get them involved in a fake fight and stuff. I used to love to see their awkwardness at that, and then he would hug them. So my awkwardness, what I'm trying to say is I come from a good impression of what it means to say father. That came in my formative years, so that's primarily what comes out of me. So any tendency you see in me, I'd say, a tendency to hug, to smile, laugh a lot, I'm going to say that probably a lot of this comes because I was in that atmosphere with my dad. I used to love to hear him laugh, the high-pitched laugh. It was weird to see him. But now, don't get me wrong now. He definitely had his faults. His faults was that he was a boxer, and if he got mad at you, he was ready to box on you. You know what I mean? Now, my dad never abused me or my brothers. I'm going to be making all of this straight. Never did. One time. In fact, one time, I committed another sin along with my brother, and we were in big trouble because my dad met us after school. He said we usually took the bus. He met us outside. We knew something was wrong. And then we got in the car, and I sat in the front seat, and I said, he started to bring out what it is that we had done and what we were headed into at home. And I started to talk back and say, no, you don't understand, which he didn't. But he turned over and wham! He hit me, woo, I knew to shut up then to not make it any worse. So he did hit me like that one time, not bleeding or swollen or anything, but I learned a little lesson. All right, so we got home, and he took care of business. He spanked us. I don't see anybody remember these days. Probably a lot of you, well, most of y'all probably can. Remember days where you had to just pull down your britches and lean over the couch and wait for the piece of wood to come. So he did that. Me and my brother were crying and so forth. But my dad and mom always did the same thing. After we were done crying for a little while, he would have us sit there and he would look at us and say, all right, I want you to know I love you, Timothy. And the reason I did this, can you tell me why I did this? Because he would tell us why he was going to spank us, and then he would spank us, and then it's almost like the speech pattern. Tell him what you're going to tell him, then tell him, and then tell him what you told him. That's how he practiced discipline. But he would have us participate. Maybe the worst it ever got was if me and my brothers got in fights. He would have us put on boxing gloves. We had these miniature gloves, and we had to stand there and let the other one hit us in the face until we both started crying. This is old school discipline, so y'all can't report nothing. He's dead, all right? Now, I'm not telling you. I'm not giving you. This is not an education on how to discipline your children. But I am telling you that overall my experience was good. I had the mercy, the love in word and in deed. But I had the chastening, the discipline, so you didn't run off and just be unruly. I couldn't just talk to my mom any kind of way because he said, that's my wife. all right. But here's how we come to the modern day, and what has hurt me in all of this is that so many, I dare say most people in my life have had an opposite experience. Have had maybe in a sense, not the opposite as in a 180-degree difference, but maybe no father. just no one there regularly, or one that didn't keep their word, or one that maybe was caught off in some addiction, so that had a lot to do with the way they treated you, or were there, or were not there. So my experience was just totally different. So that already puts me in an awkward position when I go to talk about my father, or we start talking about fathers with anyone. They can't identify with me, and I can't identify with them. I'm immediately in awkwardness with most other people that I'd say that I talk with. So I'm sure you can imagine how that's the case. I'm not sure what your relationship with your father was, but chances are high, considering statistics, that maybe you didn't have that type of experience. Along the way, I've had many people call me. One man in particular, in his old age, he's 80 years old, he calls me on Christmas. I'm a pastor now. He calls me, and he just begins to cry, "Pastor Tim," and he just starts crying. So I just gave him some space. I said, "What's wrong? What's wrong, Rudy?" He's passed on now, too. He said, "It's Christmas time." And he had a little young son, maybe about 7 or 8. Yeah, he really had his son that young, and he was loving him on Christmas. I brought my son gifts. He said, "But I've been sad this whole morning so far." He called me in the morning, maybe about 10 a.m. or so. And I just don't know what's wrong. He said, "But the thing is, I do know what's wrong. The thing that just keeps going around in my head over and over and over is I don't ever remember my dad telling me that he loved me." So at 80 years old, I've got an old man calling me, and he can't have fun on Christmas, even though he's loving his child, because of the deep wound he feels from his father, that lack of hearing that. It bugged him till he was 80. Now, let me tell you the unknown part about my father. Some of you that have been under my teaching and preaching understand this, have heard this before, but let me repeat it right here, right now, just so you don't get the wrong thing. My dad wasn't the way that he was because his dad was that way. My dad was the way that he was because his dad wasn't that way. So my dad was open. I mean, literally, I could go to him and ask him anything. "Dad, I mean, why'd you do that?" "Oh, I never did finish the story." And when he spanked us, he started crying. And I asked him why he cried. And he told me about some of the struggles he had that he really couldn't get help addressing with his father. And then he also, my father, so when he would get down, that's when you see the big strong man become weak. But he always got down about the same thing. Whenever he was calling himself, "I'm just a piece of Mississippi mud," because that's where he was from, Mississippi, Sardis, Mississippi. He said, "I'm just a piece of red dirt." Whenever he started talking like that, you knew he was down. So I would just ask him sometime, "Dad, why are you down? What's bugging you?" He said, "My dad didn't love me. And I didn't feel the love for my mom and my stepmom." And so I, of course, got to know all of them. I got to know them really well, and I could see what he was saying. There was definitely something wrong on his mom's side of the family where they were against men. I mean, they just were. From his stepmom, my grandfather's next wife, same way. There was something very wrong. Even Donna got to recognize and see a lot of this. I don't know what it is to this day. All I can think is that somehow now, because they're all in heaven, as it were, that things have turned around, that they know the joy they never could know here. But there was something wrong there. So whenever he would get sad, so my dad died at 60, so I'm talking anywhere up until then. Whenever he would get sad and depressed, it was always had to do with this relationship with his father or with his parents. So I'm saying this is real. There's something fundamentally wrong, and something that's creating an awkwardness with us. And this awkwardness, hopefully with me speaking forth real, you'll feel more free to acknowledge that there is something wrong here. I mean, we're all laughing. We kind of joke about it, because even if you go to a movie today and they talk about, you see trouble with the man in the movie, they always refer back to daddy issues, don't they? I mean, you hear this all the time. "Well, what's wrong with you?" "Oh, daddy issues." And it's a joke, but it's not a joke. I mean, we really mean it. Because we're so many of us are hurting because we have lacked that relationship with the Father, at least a relationship in the way we think that it ought to be. I remember another lady. So I'm always, if anybody knows me, at least over the past 14, 15 years, I'm going to get up here and proclaim the Father, Son, and Spirit God. I'm going to talk about Jesus as Father. I'm going to talk about the Son as the Son of the Father and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about the Father, Father, Father. But a couple of people, but one in particular, a lady, would always have me come counsel, and she'd always say the same thing when we got together. I don't know why you're always talking about our heavenly father. Fathers aren't any good. And she talked to me then about the abuse and stuff she experienced. So that she wished that I would never say father, because her only picture of a father was the experience that she had. So she was actually turned off by God. Every time I think I'm turning her and others on by talking about the father, she's getting turned off and not even wanting to come and hear about that, because she could not grasp in her mind a good father. Wonder who else is struggling and dealing with that sometimes. Me and another friend, another minister, we were talking one time, and this came up again. We said, man, do you ever have problems? You were talking about problem issues in preaching with the congregation sometimes. And it's just so interesting that he said, you know, one of my problems is I haven't had a lot of the problems that people have had. My relationship with my dad and mom is good. Dad didn't have any addiction, big things like that. I said, man, I have the exact same problem a lot. Even when talking with fellow pastors, my problem is when if I try to talk about my experiences, people are mad. They don't understand it, or they're upset and they start, you know, get jealous because they didn't have it. Of course, this isn't anything that we chose at all. I'm just like you, man. I was born by grace. I had no choice to who my parents were and how they would bring me up. So, but on the other hand, it creates an awkwardness with those you're preaching to and talking with. So, well, let's face it. We have some daddy issues. And is there anything more awkward than Father's Day? All along this whole week, this is the one week, this is the one holiday of the year that I can't count on what's going to go on at church. My wife can tell you, I kid you not, I know when Mother's Day is going to happen, I know exactly what's going to happen, how the order of service is going to go. This, when it comes to Father's Day, I have to keep, only when I, only by time, thankfully, me and my wife talk. We talk, we have communication. She said, yeah, this is going to happen on Father's Day. It is, and nobody told me. And so the only way I learned about our service today was my wife giving me bits and pieces to where I was joking all week. Well, we're going to get together on Loser Sunday again, you know, and God will make something happen. So we've been laughing all week. But she can tell you the truth. That it was frustrating. Even last night, Friday night, I got to her because I did do the order of service. So I went through the way I had it. So she had to give me some corrections. No, there's going to be a presentation given. So this is the one day where everything falls off. Now, I'm not just talking here. I'm kind of being careful to lay the groundwork so you all know what I'm talking about. You live in this world, too. This is true. It's awkward, Father's Day. We don't know how to handle it, and we don't handle it very well. And there are reasons why. I was listening to this week, just happened to listen to the radio driving somewhere, and I heard the Michael Baisden show. Some of you listened to him. Well, it had a moment on there, of course, about Father's Day. And it basically was just the awkwardness of Father's Day. Again, it's like, man, for Mother's Day, there's always all kinds of prep. The commercials are out 2 months in advance. For Father's Day, it's really nothing much. They're still trying to give us ties. You know? It's just dumb. So this is why I say, even though I was not prepared to come up here at all, I can see that the Father has definitely given me something to say just by living life here among this United States with you all. There's something to be said. All right, so I've kind of talked about, identified really the problems and the awkwardness we have. And it's okay for us in the church. We confess our sins and we confess our brokenness. So this is okay. It's all right. In one sense, if everything wasn't all right with your father, we can name that, even if it's not now. It's okay. So I've entitled my message, rather than losers rejected at Windsor Mill, I've entitled it, The Father From Whom All Are Named. That's Ephesians 3:15, which we won't read it right now. The Father From Whom All Are Named. I believe there's a problem in the world. It's not only a daddy's issues, but I feel it's primarily a lack of the gospel, of understanding it, but primarily I believe the church has some fault in all of this by not properly proclaiming the gospel. So for just a few minutes I have left, I would like to tell you the primary blockages that I believe that the church and only the church can bring to the table to help with these daddy issues and this daddy awkwardness, and then leave you with one encouraging truth given to us by the gospel in Jesus Christ. So let me pray before I say these last few words. Heavenly Father, we come before you as the one and only true good Father by nature of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit. And we know this, Father, not just because of Jesus, but because you sent Jesus to tell us who you are and what you're really like. And you sent Jesus to tell us what your name is. And despite all the sinful awkwardness and things you see about Father and how we misuse the term, you still have given us your name and you have claimed it gladly. And it's Father. So there is something very important about that name. There's a reason why we do struggle with it, because you are named that, and that's a very important thing for us to know and to wrestle with. So I pray that you, Father, would make yourself known in these few minutes left. Thank you for the provision of just living this daily life, and by your grace through Jesus, proclaiming a word today that hopefully, I pray, I will not impede or obstacle, but only find myself participating with you and sharing with your people for their benefit and for the benefit of the world through them. It's in Christ Jesus' name, Father, that I pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let me have you turn with me to Matthew. You have your scriptures. You definitely want to turn this, please. This is one of the things you want to memorize when it comes to thinking about how the church can better speak to this issue of fatherhood. Matthew 23, it's often, I think it's maybe one of the most overlooked commandments. Because when we think of commandments, I was to say, do you keep the commandments of God? Of course, back in the day, you might have said, yeah, I keep the Sabbath, I keep the holy days. But now it might have turned in with, yeah, I don't commit adultery, I don't steal, I don't murder. You still might think in terms of that, but I think you might avoid some of these other things like this that we'll read. Let me give you some context here. Matthew 23, verse 1. I'm reading out of the Christian Standard Bible. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples. The scribes and Pharisees are seated in the chair of Moses. Therefore, do whatever they tell you and observe it. But don't do what they do, because they don't practice what they teach. Right there, I think, is our instruction for fathers. Just make that kind of plain right now. You'll see how that fits, I think. So do what they tell you and observe it, but don't do what they do, because they don't practice what they teach. They tie up heavy loads that are hard to carry and put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves aren't willing to lift a finger to move them. They do everything to be seen by others. They enlarge their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love the place of honor at banquets, the front seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called rabbi by people. You have anyone ever known anyone that likes their title and likes you have to call them by that? Now, okay, anyway, that's getting a sense of it. But verse 8, but you, he's talking to the crowd and his disciples, you are not to be called rabbi, because you have one teacher. And you are all brothers and sisters. Do not call anyone on earth your father, because you have one father who is in heaven. Uh-oh. I think we can already begin to see what part of the problem is in our fatherly awkwardness. Let me read it again, verse 9. Do not call anyone on earth your father, because you have one father who is in heaven. Continuing, you are not to be called instructors either, because you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted.